Paul Coburn, keeping us fit and well. For Milpark Physiotherapy, call 9436 9666 or visit milparkphysio.com.au.
I just want to wish you well. I just want to wish you well.
That's all he ever wants to do, and he's back again to do it on a Thursday. Hello, Cobes.
We just want to make it better.
We just want to fix it.
We just want to get it going.
Just make it better.
We do. That's all we want to do.
We want to fix it, don't we?
We want to fix it. Hey.
Making it better might eventually make it worse as well.
Now, have you had any injuries that have continued beyond your career? Anything you can think off the top of your head?
Continued? No, just my back's rubbish, but that's okay.
Your back's rubbish?
Yeah.
Your groins are okay?
My groins are okay now. They destroyed my career.
Are you sure?
Yeah, they're good. Why?
I don't think
why do you ask two
Can
dogs?
We start that again?
No.
Are your groins better?
Yeah.
No, they're not really all that good. No. I'm sure they could be a lot better.
They could.
This segue thing is never going to work unless we've got to get a bit more coordinated.
What do you want about Coburn?
We need to have the pre-production meeting. It's not working out. Because today, look, what I've got for you today is gold. That's what I'm trying to say.
Is it 10 years too late?
Yeah, for you, it was probably.
It's 15
it was always
going
to be too late. Anything was going to be too late for you, mate. Look, no, what I've got today.
Though, right.
What I want to talk about today is a specific treatment for certain types of groin pain.
Oh, that's my wheelhouse right
there.
Yeah,
certain types of groin pain that don't get better. And certain types of low back pain.
Oh, you couldn't be any that more sweet spot with me at the moment.
Oh, yeah.
Where were you 15 years ago?
Oh, you know, in the mines learning my craft.
Well, in fact, not just where were you, where was our special guest 15 years ago in my career? Acting Medical Director of the VIS, Dr. Annex Shorten's been good enough to join us. Annex, good afternoon.
Hello.
Where were you 15 years ago? I needed your help.
I don't know, I was learning.
I could still be playing, Annex.
She said she was down at Port Melbourne working with Kingy.
She did say that, yeah, they crossed paths.
Yeah, we're just
practicing.
Yeah.
Practicing.
Yeah, so you, when you first, Dr. Shorten, sports physician, can you give her a rundown? She's the, what did we say? She's the
Acting Medical Director of the VIS.
And she was the, actually, she was the doctor for the first two Melbourne Victory premierships.
Yep.
Yes. Works on, runs the draft combine. So she got lots of successes. But today what we're talking about is her management or using a technique called prolotherapy for certain conditions in the back and the groin. So the two conditions we're talking about are, first of all, sacroiliac joint pain,
right,
which is sort of a back buttock pain. We'll get her to tell us about it in a minute. And the other one's osteitis pubis. So, Anique, patients with sacroiliac joint pain, how do they sort of present?
Well, they're often your back pains that don't get better, or the people that think they've got back pain, but in fact it's not coming from the back. So usually it will be pain in the the buttocks rather than back pain. Often it gets worse when they sit, but when they walk, which is different, and they often say, by the end of the day, I have to go for a lie down, can't cope. So someone that would otherwise be quite functional has a lie down at 4 o'clock. Don't like sitting, don't like hard chairs,
yep,
and find it hard to get up and down off the floor if they're sort of mums with kids. So, and the pain is generally in the buttocks, but doesn't go higher up in the back.
So that's one of the distinguishing factors, is that you've got to, because with this technique I'm going to talk about in a minute, you've got to pick the right conditions. So when you say into the back, it's sort of, I guess, where the top of your bottom can you have the top of your bottom?
Yeah, well, I think most people would be able to visualise that part.
That's good.
Yeah,
that's good.
No, I think that's
the top of your bottom.
Fair reference point.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's pain that, can it go down the leg?
It can. So it can present as sciatica. So obviously it presents the same as a lot of people's back pain. And it can coexist, which is complicated. So a lot of people who've got one problem will develop the other and vice versa.
Is that through compensation or how does that work?
Probably. It probably is compensation. So if one bit's not quite stable or not working properly, the other bit will get more stressed.
Yep.
And okay. Up.
Well, that makes sense.
So, and these people, just to try and distinguish them from other types of conditions, so they often have trouble weight bearing or walking. Is that a fair description?
Yeah, they don't like walking. So, a lot of people with typical disc pain are happy to sort of keep moving and don't like being sat down, whereas these guys don't like walking either. So, anything that's putting a lot of pressure across the sacroiliac joints.
Okay.
It's a problem.
Now, the
What's phase one?
No, hang on. The other condition.
Yeah, the other condition.
It's osteitis pubis. The osteitis pubis that don't get better. So, I guess what we're talking about here is the pelvis as a bowl.
Yep.
Is that okay, Nick?
yeah,
she's looking. Give me the look.
It's a difficult one to explain on radio.
Yeah, I know. It's like a bowl.
Well, I think most of us know what a pelvis looks like. I think most of us listening know what a pelvis looks like.
Yeah, but people don't know where the joints are. That's what I'm trying to get across.
Oh, well, yeah, no.
There's but two at the back.
We've okay, got the bowl shape. We've got the,
we've got the bowl, right? And the it comes together at the front.
Yeah.
Okay, now where it comes together, that can also give you problems.
Absolutely, it can.
And some of those ones don't get better. Tell us about those ones, Annette.
Yeah, they're a problem. I sort of came across those more often when I was working with a lot of the soccer guys. So that's pain right in the centre at the front. It's often a really sharp pain.
The pubic symphysis? Is that what we call it?
Yep, the pubic symphysis, correct.
Symphysitis, is that what we call it?
Well, it's got lots of names. I prefer not to give it a name.
Righto,
really.
Just that area?
Let's just say it's central groin pain because there's been 100 names.
Yep.
So it's a sharp pain.
Yes.
And people will say it hurts when you kick. Obviously, footy players, when they pivot. And, you know, often if they do something unexpected, so you fall off a curb or you're running on the beach and you hit a pothole or something, and that's when they say they grab themselves and say, it feels like I'm going to split across the front.
Yeah.
So it's quite a specific pain.
I've been there. I've had that. Yep. I've had that. And it probably did destroy my career effectively, even though it wasn't that good. It probably destroyed my career. And it was a shocking thing because it actually, as you were getting to the point before, Cobes, we couldn't fix it. Mm. And it was really painful.
Yeah. And we were, again, Annette and I, look, the reason I've asked Annette to come in because she's treated a couple of my patients with these sorts of conditions. But one was a soccer player who... It's not at the start of their career. We're having this discussion again off air. It wasn't at the start of the career. It was more like once they get past 25 or so, and then when you treat them and you're doing your rehab, you're going along, oh, this is going well, and then bang, they're just back to square one. Yeah, those type.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So, you know, the first thing you say is, are you actually doing your exercises properly?
Yep.
And obviously in a professional setting, it's easy to watch and you see them do them. And exactly as Cope said, you think they're going well, they hit a pothole and it's straight back to square one.
Yeah.
So all the good work they think they've done just seems to have done nothing.
That seems to be, just from my understanding of injury, rehabilitation and the like through the journey, that seems to be really odd that if there's one little moment along the journey, everything goes back to the original state, to the poor state. Whereas if you retweak a hamstring or so as you're just about getting ready, it's not as drastic as it was initially and you can build it from there as opposed to having to go back to square one. Is that unusual?
Well, I suppose the theory is that if it's unstable... then you haven't actually fixed the instability. The muscles are trying to fix the instability, but if the muscles aren't turned on at that moment, it's very similar to a shoulder.
Yep.
At the end of the day, if you've got a shoulder, most people have a shoulder reconstruction if they're playing a contact sport because they'll do all the rehab, but if they get caught in one odd position, it'll pop out back to square one. So it's a similar kind of thing.
Yeah, so it's kind of like we're thinking the joint... this is the hard bit in discussing. Again, we're trying to get this right off air, but it's... we think there's some sort of, between the two bones, it doesn't quite hold. That's the reason where, you know, you could say, oh, it moves, but it's quite subtle, isn't it?
Well, they're inherently stable joints, both the SIJ and the pubic symphysis. They don't move a lot, but they are strengthened by ligaments. And so when there's any movement going on at all, there's a problem.
Now, what we do first of all, in these things, we don't just jump straight into, you know, using some sort of different treatment. Normally what we do is some form of strengthening because oftentimes we can get away with it and we'll get them going.
Yep. Is that effective for these?
The vast majority, so this is not a sale for prolotherapy, the vast majority will settle down fine with really good strengthening and they're caught early. And, you know, so certainly I'm not by any means saying that everyone who has these symptoms should be ringing up and booking in for prolotherapy. Strengthening is definitely the way to go in the first instance. And can be really useful. And it's often exercises you've never heard of as a footballer.
Yep.
It's probably, you know, you'd be well familiar with the exercises they're saying, that they're muscles you've never heard of and never really been told to switch on before.
Mm.
And a lot of it now, hopefully, is becoming less common because we're doing a lot more core work. We're doing a lot more prevention work right from the young kids.
Well, I think that's really evident. And, like, it was rampant. OP, or this pubic symphysis pain, this symphysis pain 10 years ago, 15 years ago, Cobes, or 20 years ago as well, it was rampant. Particularly in AFL footy, and now we don't hear as much about it anymore.
We're seeing a lot less. We were just talking about that in the sort of the cohort that are coming through the draft.
Yeah.
Probably 5-6 years ago, there would have been a much greater percentage that say they've had OP. So yeah, it does seem to be reducing, which is good.
Mm.
Right. Something's working.
So there are some simple exercises that you can do to strengthen that area if you are having those issues. But if that's not working,
you need to consider this. And I think that's why this is where Anique has come across this, because you've worked with good clinicians, but you've got to a stage with certain patients where it's just not working. They're not getting better no matter what you do.
Yeah.
And when we come back after the break,
yes,
we're going to talk about exactly what she does with prolotherapy for treatment of sacroiliac joint and pubic symphysis.
Dr. Annette Shorten, acting medical director of the Victorian Institute of Sport. I'll get that right. Sports physician for Melbourne Victory for its first two premierships as well. Heads up the draft combine medical screening for the AFL is our special guest in the studio today with Paul Coburn, who's keeping you fit and well, Cobes. Now, we've got the problems. We know what we've got. Is it iliac or iliac? You keep saying iliac.
What does the mother country say?
God knows. Iliac.
All right, I'm running with iliac. Iliac joints.
We're going to go iliac.
And the old OP, or what you wrote in your notes anyway, the old OP symphysis issues.
We
can't get them right with exercises and rehab.
We've done the good rehab.
We've done the best we can, but it's not getting any better.
Yep.
Where do we go? What's the options now?
One of the options, which we talked about, is prolotherapy.
What's prolotherapy?
So prolotherapy is an injection of dextrose sugar, basically 50% glucose or dextrose. So it's an injection of sugar into the ligaments around the joints. Yeah. So it's as simple as it's an injection that's half sugar and half local anesthetic. And the sugar, the dextrose, acts as a irritant. So it causes an inflammatory response.
Yep.
And theoretically stimulates collagen production and stiffens up the ligaments or makes them more functional.
Right. And where did this come from? Where do we find this?
It's been around forever and it's never become mainstream. So for whatever reasons, probably for a number of reasons, it's probably been misused as has cortisone over the years. It's never really found favour in the mainstream. But it's been around for years and years and years and used for, you know, if you can Google prolotherapy, you'll find it's been used for anything and everything, trigger points and muscles and bones and any soft tissue injuries, but it's probably most used now in these particular conditions.
Right. Cobes, have you come across this and its effectiveness?
Oh, yeah. No, absolutely. I've had a couple of patients who were treated for a long time. One in particular used to come in about three or four times a year. So she'd have back pain, but then she'd go really backwards, come in on crutches. And we were managing her. She'd done all the strength work. We'd done all the rehab. Some people can get that central pain problem where they just feel pain. It wasn't that. And she had it. And boom, she was better. I've had a couple of quite dramatic results. But as Anique says, you've got to get the right patient. And that's what we're discussing in the first half. But one thing with it, Anique, how do people respond once they get how do they feel straight afterwards?
Very variable. So some people will say they're in agony for a week, can't walk, you know, needing Panadol, Panadine Forte.
Yep.
Other people say, I felt fine, I went to work the next day. So the reaction is entirely variable, and it's not as simple as saying the people that were in more pain have more pain or anything that you can't predict who's going to have more pain. And the amount of pain they have isn't proportional to the response. So some people think, well, if I didn't have a reaction, it won't work. But it's very variable. But generally, it'd be uncomfortable for a few days.
And it is you are trying to cause inflammation.
Yeah. So you want one of the sales for me, certainly with professional teams, was that people can keep training. So in a lot of injections that we do, you're off for 1 or 2 days, or with the PRP or whatever, you can be off for longer. So this, you're actually trying to, you obviously don't go out trampolining for 2.5 hours, but you can keep doing what you want to do. You can keep moving and actually cause the inflammation.
You were saying before that the pain responses are different. Mm-hmm. Are the responses to the actual injection themselves from the injury prevention or recovery point of view, are they consistent or are they indifferent as well?
I've seen really good results overall with the ones we've done. And I think, as Cobes has said, it's choosing the right patient and making sure, you know, if you've got low back pain, it's nothing to do with your SIJ. Injecting your SIJ is not going to help. So if they've been well worked up, we've seen some really great results. I've had patients that have literally not been able to get on the treatment couch before they started the treatments and have been much better. The best patient I've had was sort of very marginal. He wasn't really that bad, and we ummed and ahed, and he said, look, I just want to go ahead with it. And he went from not too much pain but to no pain. So, and being able to do his exercises much more efficiently.
Yeah. And it's a long-term solution, or is it just...
I think it is a long-term solution. I don't have the long... I'm not that old yet, but I don't have the long-term...
Sure you're not.
Can't see it. I don't have the long-term results, but certainly, you know, we're up to sort of probably 10 years on people.
Okay.
And it's going well.
Yeah, fantastic.
But they've got to do their rehab.
They have to do their rehab.
Afterwards.
So it's never a question of a patient coming in and I go for prolotherapy and you'll be fixed.
Yeah.
So it's pretty much all the patients I've dealt with, I've managed with a physio. So it's either the physio has referred them because they've failed to progress. We do the prolo and they go back to the physio. Or I say, you must see the physio before we start so that you know what you're trying to achieve. So it's very much a sort of a twofold.
And you were saying even despite the fact that some people are in pain, they can keep moving, keep training.
Yeah, within their pain. You know, I don't want to take Panadine Fort to go out and train, but yeah, they keep training.
But not anti-inflammatories.
No anti-inflammatories, because anti-inflammatories are anti-inflammatory and prolotherapy is pro-inflammatory.
Yeah, so that's the
we
first...
We do make that statement.
The first time, first patient who we saw, she came, she was in terrible pain. I said, I'll just take anti-inflammatories. And she walked out of the clinic, I thought, oh, my God, that can't be right.
You're trying to create the inflammation.
Well, they were going to try to stop it.
Well, that doesn't quite marry up.
Oh,
no.
That could have been ugly.
And you were saying before, Anik, that it's been around for a while and used in many, many areas of the body. There are other areas. We're talking about the SIJ at the moment and the pubic symphysis. But what other areas can it be used in this?
Well, people have been using it for various tendon injuries. I don't routinely do that. So in tendinopathy, there's people that will claim that's useful. Some people have suggested it could be useful in ankle ligament injuries, acute ligaments, once again, to try and stiffen up the ligament. But, you know, every time you do an injection, you have to decide whether it's worth the risk with benefits. So that there's always risks, and you don't want to just jump into injections for the sake of it because it sounds like a good idea. So, you know, it's always a balance.
Can you tell us about the role of collagen? I'm fascinated by collagen. You hear a lot about collagen on TV with all the ads that go on.
Yeah. I mean, we hear a lot about collagen because I think I'm not a collagen expert, but obviously collagen fails as we age. So there's a natural aging. So we get told our face creams will contain collagen and rebuild our faces, which I'm not sure about. But collagen is a constituent of ligament and fibrous tissue, and it needs to be there. But also it does fail. And if it fails, you can either try and stimulate production of more of it.
And the dextrose, which is being injected into these areas of the body that help produce this collagen. Are there other substances that help produce collagen?
There are other substances. Dextrose is just the one that we use. Yeah. I mean, there are other pro-inflammatory things that can be used for prolotherapy. Prolotherapy is not always dextrose, but it's probably the most commonly used.
And creating the inflammation copes, no one ever talks about that, do they, in terms of our listeners. It's always about how do I reduce inflammation? How do I get that to disappear? The idea of creating that inflammation to get better would be foreign for a lot of people, I imagine.
Well, it's a foreign for us as clinicians because we're sort of brought up on this stop inflammation.
Yeah.
But a lot of conditions need inflammation. That's a massive topic because sometimes you wonder by doing your treatment and minimizing inflammation, are you actually inhibiting the healing process? So a quick example, Anik, anti-inflammatory straight after an acute injury.
Well, that's the obvious debate. There was a study that came out a few years ago saying that the use of anti-inflammatories in acute muscle tears is probably contraindicated, actually counterproductive in the healing process. And we've all taken that to heart. So now you'll never get someone with an acute hemi being given anti-inflamms in the sporting world.
Yeah, right.
Now, that was one paper, and there's probably not finished doing more research, but yeah, anti-inflammatories aren't the panacea. They don't fix everything. They do make people feel better. That's good.
Yeah.
Well, and from a placebo type situation as well?
No, they're real. No, they're real.
Yeah, they're real, but they're real, that's but a problem. They're real. So when you need inflammation, you don't want something to stop the inflammation.
Yeah. It's an odd world, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's a very odd world. It's an odd topic, and we've never gone anywhere near sort of creating inflammation. This is fascinating.
Yeah, that's what I say. I was a bit, I was thrown when we first. It is a different sort of approach.
Yeah.
But anyway, it's very local. It's very specific. It's inflammation at the end of the needle. It's not a systematic. It's not a systemic thing.
No.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's a very important, very important point. Very important point.
If people want to go and see Anik, you're working at Brighton.
Physio Sports Brighton.
Yep. They've got some good physios down there because they're south of the Yarra. We can say that. But if you're north of the Yarra, there is no good physios north of the Yarra apart from Mill Park Physiotherapy. And I've just disenfranchised myself from the entire profession, so I might be coming in with a new title next week.
If you think these may apply to you, these issues may apply to you, I would suggest getting on the phone to Physio Sports Brighton and booking in to see Anik and see what she's able to do for you. If you're north of the Yarra, of course, Mill Park Physio, 94369666.
That's right. But having said all that, Anik's going to, if you're not the right patient, she's going to quite unashamedly say, nah, it's not going to work.
No.
So, and that's what you need to be. You need to be the right patient because it won't work for different conditions.
Well, we want you to be fixed if you're the right patient. So head on down or give them a call, Physio Sports Brighton, and ask for an appointment with Dr. Anik Shorten, who's been our special guest this afternoon. Great to have you in, Anik. Thank you for that. That was good. Interesting stuff. This creating pain stuff, this inflammation. I like
creating pain.
I know it's a bit general. I know that's a bit general, but it goes against everything we've ever talked about, Cobes. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, it does. I guess it's about being specific.
Yeah.
With your treatment. Yep. Which we try to.
No, I think it works. I'm all for it. Makes sense to me when you break it down.
All right, next
just
week,
like you,
just like me.
Can
and
I
next
break
week,
you down?
Break me down because next week we're saving your life.
What are we doing?
We're doing. We're talking about resuscitation, and we're talking about those things you can get in your clinics. So the resus units.
Oh, yes. Yes. Yeah, yeah. Very,
not
very
your, not your clinics, anywhere.
Anywhere.
Yeah, yeah,
wherever
yeah.
you like.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're so very good. All right. I'm looking forward to doing that. We'll do it next Thursday, same time. 107-ish on a Thursday afternoon. Paul Cockburn, keeping you fit and well. Thanks for coming in, team.
Thank you, Harv.